everyone, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've joined us. I'm also really glad to be back here in the host chair after a needed week away. I want to thank Nick Austin, one of the producers here on the show, for sitting in for me with you last week. So I really love when a little point of data or a little detail tells you something big about something else. So let's start with one today. During the first 5 months of the 2023 legislative session, Governor Gretchen Whitmer has signed 38 bills into law. Now, that may not be a record, but it's the consequences of those bills that's really remarkable. There are policy changes that we've already discussed on this show, like increasing the earned income tax credit from 6% to 30%, adding legal protections for citizens who are LGBTQ, repealing the right to work laws that were put into place during the previous administration of Governor Rick Snyder, and broadening background checks and registration requirements for firearms. I think it's really important to remember that in my lifetime, the Michigan legislature has not previously been able to pass substantive gun protection laws. This is all to say that the Democratic majority has been working, really working, and that that work is not close to being done. A little later in the hour, we're going to talk about a report from a national think tank about the ways that Michigan may benefit from a new windfall of public and private investment. We'll also talk about a report that really takes a look at the things that we've done here in Michigan to shore up democracy and democratic participation, another thing we've talked quite a bit about on this show. But before we get to those subjects, we want to talk about some of the newer legislation that has passed the State House. We'll talk about the budget negotiations that are ongoing in Lansing and inquire about what's next for this legislature that is under the control of Democrats for the first time in nearly 40 years. To do that, we've got House Speaker Pro Tem Lori Pahutsky with us. Speaker Pro Tem, she is a progressive Democrat from Livonia. It's really great to have her here. Welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So before we get into the recent bills that have passed, I want to talk about your district. You represent Livonia, which is a place that I'm old enough to remember that it was really almost impossible to elect a Democrat to the state legislature. It's certainly still not a place that people would consider an easy win for progressive candidates, which is something that you are. So I want to talk a little about your election, your district, and I guess what's changing in Livonia.
Sure. I mean, so redistricting changed a lot. You know, we went from having really just one representative. There was about one square mile that was in a different district. But for the most part, I represented nearly all of Livonia. Redistricting changed that. There are now three state representatives that represent various areas of Livonia. But back in 2018, when I won that first election, it was a huge shakeup. You know, as you mentioned, the district had been historically very conservative. And when I was out knocking doors, I saw that changing. The conversations that I was having indicated to me that we had a chance. But in all honesty, when I first started running, I thought that I would maybe move the needle. You know, I thought that I would make it easier for someone else to flip that seat eventually. So it took a long time for me to really fully grasp the fact that no, we could really flip this. And I think it took other people even just a little bit longer to think that we could.
So what are the things that you think were able to connect you with voters who not so long ago would have really recoiled from some of the things that, that you stand for and believe. Is it a change in demographics, or is there a bridge, I guess, that you've been able to extend to voters who maybe don't agree with everything that you stand for and do, but were attracted to the idea of your leadership?
I think it was a little bit of both. So the demographics are certainly changing. We have a lot more young people coming into the district, a lot of younger families, and that was hugely beneficial. And there have been indications of that steady change, in the years since. You know, this past weekend, we had our first ever Pride celebration in Livonia, which was huge. Mm-hmm. Probably not to a lot of other communities that have been doing it for a really long time, but it's a really strong indication that things are continuing to change. But to your point, I think that there was also historically not a real ground-focused campaign. So the fact that I knocked a ton of doors and said things that, you know, like you said, some people may not agree with, but they appreciated the fact that, one, I was on their doorstep asking what they thought. And even if they didn't agree with everything I was saying, they got an honest answer out of me. You know, for better or worse, I have never been very good at politicking and trying to gloss over exactly what I'm trying to get at. So I think that people found that a little refreshing, and a lot of people felt, you know, even if they might not agree with every single thing that I wanted to do when I got to Lansing, they at least knew that they were never going to get taken on a ride. They were going to know exactly what my priorities were. They would know how I planned on voting, how I did vote, and they knew that I would give them the actual rationale for why I voted a certain way. And I do think that people found that refreshing and appreciated it.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk also about your role as Speaker Pro Tem, the first Democrat to hold that position in a really long time here in Michigan. Give us a sense of what your and Speaker Joe Tate's leadership looks like and how you've had to, I guess, make the adjustment from being in the minority to being in charge and to do it, you know, while you're accomplishing an awful lot of things in a short window of time. We've talked with him about the pace that you guys have set there. I wonder what that all looks like from your chair.
You know, I really don't envy the first termers that came in having never been in the minority before. Yeah, never being in the minority before and suddenly thrust into the majority. Because to your point, we have been moving at a breakneck pace. And that's because we have essentially 40 years of backlogged policy to try and get through. And we have two good years at a time. So we've been moving very, very quickly, and there was no learning curve for any of our new members. They were thrown in here, and everyone did their best to get everyone up to speed, but there's only so much time to work with. So, we have priorities that we need to deliver on. There are things that we have been talking about for over a decade that we knew we needed to get to work on, and that didn't leave a whole lot of time to have anyone get adjusted, you know, either the new members or, you know, in other cases, the speaker or myself. It was a very, very quick adjustment that we had to make. So that doesn't mean that things were always smooth. You know, there were some bumps along the way, but we're doing good work and we're doing it as quickly as we possibly can. Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Lori Pohutsky. She is a progressive Democrat from Livonia. She is the House Speaker Pro Tem. We're talking about the things that are going on in Lansing right now. Budget talks, progressive bills that have already passed, some that are still to come. What the priorities look like with this new Democratic majority in Lansing. The first full Democratic majority in the legislature in almost 40 years. Would love to hear from you, the listeners, as well during this conversation. Give us a call and let us know what you make of what the Democrats are doing now that they have control in Lansing. What do you think they should be prioritizing next? And what are your biggest concerns as a Michigan resident? What are the things that maybe keep you up at night wondering about the future of our state? The number on the phones is always 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation that way. I want to talk about some policy things that are going on in Lansing right now, but I also want to talk, of course, about budget. It is budget season in Lansing. I think for a lot of people, the idea that Democrats have control of both houses and a Democratic governor suggests this should go easier than it has in the first few years of Governor Whitmer's term. At the same time, you know, there's a pretty broad set of views among the Democrats who make up that majority. And so, of course, there's some negotiating that will go on. First, give us an update about where you think budget talks are, and then give us a sense of the tensions that are present that have to be worked out even among Democrats.
Sure. So we are on track to have the budget done, by the end of this month. I think I don't sit on appropriations. Blessedly, I very relieved to not be on the Appropriations Committee. But conference committees are, you know, getting ready to meet. Targets were already set and locked in the previous week. So we're in a good place. And like you said, I fully expected this to go much more smoothly than it has in the past. And it certainly has. But yeah, to your point, there are still priorities that everyone has that, you know, hopefully in a perfect world, everybody's budget priority, whether it be an in-district priority or whether it be increased funding for an existing program, whatever the case may be, in a perfect world, all of those priorities would make it into the final budget. But at the end of the day, we have a finite amount of funds to work with. So when I say that I don't envy the people on appropriations, I truly mean that, because those are some really difficult conversations to have. They're difficult conversations that have had to, you know, be had with me. I'm not immune from trying to advocate for things that don't make it into the final budget. But the first budget cycle that I went through was 2019, where it was dragged out until literally the last minute, and there were all manners of line item vetoes that came to pass. I am so relieved that that is not something that we have to worry about this time, and that everyone is in agreement on the broad strokes, and it's just the finer points that we need to work out. So I'm really, really grateful that it's a much more smooth process this time.
Yeah. So let's talk about policy. Lots of things going on, of course, in Lansing around policy and the agenda that the Democratic majority has. I want to start with a new House bill that, if passed, is set to repeal a 2015 Republican backed law that prevented local governments from regulating private businesses' wages and benefits. I feel like this is a real tension that is arising around some of the things that the Democratic majority is doing. There's a lot of Republicans and conservatives I know who say that some of these policies threaten business. They threaten the business friendliness of Michigan and may send us back to a darker economic time. At the same time, of course, I know lots of Democrats and liberal Michiganders who are happy or happier to see the legislature siding with workers and ordinary folks who need better opportunities. Talk about this specific bill and then, I guess, put it in the context of that bigger tension.
No, so to your point, this just prevents, local units of government from harming workers. And we know that most people are not bad actors. No one really sets out with the intention of harming workers, but we have had a majority for at least the last decade, and in some instances longer than that, that really has not prioritized workers. So, you know, this bill and some of the other legislation we're working on is certainly not meant to harm businesses. And it is meant to make workers want to stay here in Michigan. Having businesses that want to come here does us no good if we have people that don't want to work for those businesses. And it's also worth noting that none of this is happening in a vacuum. You know, these bills that are coming forth to help support workers in this state are happening at the same time that we are passing legislation to help businesses that are also in this state. So if you just focus on one bill on its own, then you're kind of missing the rest of the picture, because none of this is happening on its own. It's all happening in tandem, and that's very, very intentional. We want to make sure that businesses feel welcome and feel like this is a good place to, you know, put down roots. And we also want to make sure that workers have a fighting chance in this state, because they really haven't in a long time.
The decision to repeal right to work is the thing that I think has attracted the most criticism from business and some of its supporters. I have heard people say this is the death of economic growth in Michigan, that allowing that to go away will also chase businesses away. How do you answer that criticism?
I wholeheartedly reject it. I don't think that making sure we have a level playing field between employers and employees is going to do any lasting amount of harm. I think it might be an adjustment for some folks, and I don't say that lightly. Adjustments can be difficult, and particularly when you're running a business and overseeing, you know, a large number of employees, I recognize that that can be very different or difficult. But we are also in a different era than we were when right to work was repealed, in terms of what businesses look like, what jobs look like. And I think that we need to be rising to the occasion. And I think that, you know, I was never in favor of that right to work law. And I think that it is past time to repeal it. But I think that it, you know, in a time where we are having trouble retaining workers and retaining talent in this state, that was a no-brainer to repeal right to work. And I think it was long overdue.
I also want to talk a bit about transit. And we've got a question from Twitter. David on Twitter says, the RTA needs some attention. Using a property tax millage to fund local transit like SMART has been working, but regional transit needs a different funding source, like a local sales tax. That would involve changes to the state constitution and the RTA legislation. You are a Metro Detroiter. You struggle, like the rest of us, to get around on public transit. It's something that's been true for all of us for most of our lives. Give me your sense of what the opportunity is to do better by transit, either through the RTA or through other kinds of changes like David is suggesting. Maybe a local sales tax that helps fund regional transit. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. In my first term, there was legislation that we almost took a vote on, and it kind of got scuttled at the last minute to deal with the RTA and to give communities the option to, you know, opt in and kind of bring that issue back to the table. And I know that there are folks who are working on bringing that back. And additionally, looking at some other things too, you know, the kind of tri-county region from, you know, back where I'm from, it's a very, very hot topic of conversation. And what's great is that we have communities that have really robust transit systems and their elected representatives working with the areas that have consistently struggled to get that same type of public transit and working together to try and find a solution that works for everybody. So that is absolutely a topic of conversation. And we have a really great dynamic group of legislators that are working on that, from communities that have and communities that have not, to try and find a solution.
Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. We're talking with Lori Pahutsky. She is the speaker pro tem in the House of Representatives in Lansing. We're talking about what's going on with the Democratic majority in Lansing and things like the budget talks that are going on. You can also go to Twitter, hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. There are a bunch of hate crime bills that have advanced their way out of a House committee, and these would protect people against violence or intimidation based on sexual orientation, ethnicity, or age. To someone who thinks people are already protected by such attacks, talk about why you think it's important to clarify and identify them as hate crimes. It's a real debate in this area of the law. Should we be adding penalties specifically for hate crimes when it's already against the law to commit violence or intimidation against folks?
No, absolutely. And that's an argument that I understand. I empathize with, you know, as someone who is trying to not increase criminal penalties writ large, that was something that I struggled with when this conversation first started. What I can say is the bill sponsors have been very, very communicative with stakeholders and even with those of us within the caucus who had concerns about it. And on the other side of that coin, an argument that I also empathize with is these crimes are still on the rise, even despite there being laws on the books to deal with them. You know, we just saw last week that there was someone from the UP who was attempting to enact acts of violence against, I believe, a synagogue. So, you know, I understand there are already laws on the books, but there are a variety of issue areas where we have that same argument. You know, criminals are always going to break the law. I do think that the particular climate that we're in right now is creating a need for additional conversation around it. But it is not lost on me that, you know, in many ways we're trying to decrease criminal penalties and make the system more equitable. And, you know, this is something that we do need to be very thoughtful about. But again, I really applaud the bill sponsors for hearing those criticisms and doing their best to work them out.
Yeah. Okay. Lori Pohutsky, Speaker Pro Tem in the Michigan House of Representatives. It's really great to have you here with us. I'm going to hold you to it. You said you think the budget will be done by the end of the month. We'll have to have you come back in July and report to how that all works out. I think that's a pretty optimistic forecast, but I guess we'll see if you guys
sounds
can get
good.
It done. All right. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
When we come back, we are going to continue talking about Michigan and Michigan's politics. We're going to talk about both the ways that this state has strengthened democracy and democratic access, as well as the ways that more federal money that has shown up on our doorstep may change life for millions of us here in the state. Also want to continue to hear from you on the phones and on Twitter. 313-577-1019 is the number. Call and tell us what you make of the changes we're experiencing here in Michigan in terms of our politics and our policies. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today and be part of the show that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. Thank you.